It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. It's again time for us to spend 15 minutes here on KETR and talk about hunting and fishing. Now, the first portion of our show is underwritten by the Dallas Safari Club, and the website is biggame.org. The convention this year is in Dallas, and it's January the 3rd through the 6th. The name of this year's convention is Journeys. Now, today we're going to visit with Larry Large. We've had Larry on in recent months, and Larry is a bass guide down at Lake Fork, and he also guiding for ducks and hogs on some private land. Larry, are you with us this morning, buddy?
I sure am, Luke, and I'm just feel fortunate to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you, Larry. I've had the privilege, folks, of hunting with Larry for elk and ducks and deer and you name it. We've been out there doing it, Larry, but you've got some private waters, actually about 300 acres of a couple of good-sized lakes that are located just west of Cedar Creek Lake, and then there's a lot of potholes that you hunt. The reason I know so much about it, I've been out there with you a lot, but we had an awesome hunt this past weekend, and it seems like, Larry, that during this second split of the duck season, a lot of those ducks on the big waters are seeking refuge on some of these places like this.
Yeah, everybody knows, Luke, that, you know, in the dry years, the farm ponds dry up and everything, they go to the big water. But now this year, even though that it's been dry, a lot of these little farm tanks are dry, and the ducks that's on Cedar Creek, everybody can go hunt those. They chase them ducks off of there. Where do they go? We have got water. If you've got water this year, you've got ducks. So all those ducks are coming to us saying, "Whoo, these guys don't hunt 7 days a week out here. We're not being bothered. Let's go land over there in their decoys."
That's true. Well, we had some receptive ducks, and maybe some of our listeners will glean some information, Larry, just on some techniques. I know that you had a couple of these motion decoys. Now, for years, we've used spinning wing decoys, and I still think and I believe at times they're very, very important. At times, they're not. I've seen them where I don't know if the ducks were just super spooky or what, but in my duck hunting, I've had times when I turned off the spinning wing decoys. But those motion decoys that swim around, those are awesome, Larry.
Yeah, they really are, Luke. And you knew from or seen this weekend, I had four dozen decoys out. I had my mojos out. Every duck in the bunch wanted to land on top of the swimmers. And all they are is a beautifully painted decoy and a big decoy with a little prop on the back of them. You weight them just like you would a regular decoy. You can control how far each direction they go by the length of the string, and they just swim around. And if you don't think they don't look real, you ought to put a good Labrador dog in a blind and watch him sit there and whine, because he wants to go get one of them swimming ducks. They look that real in a spread.
They do, and most any duck hunter, Larry, knows this, that the absolute worst thing you can have is a bunch of decoys setting still when there's no wind on the water. But these swimmers, and honestly, this is the first time I've ever hunted with these swimmer decoys, but I was very impressed. They put ripples on the water, and they make a decoy spread look alive, and I plan to get a couple for myself too. Those are awesome.
Yeah, they really are, and since I started using them, I never used them until last year, and I was just thoroughly impressed. They're expensive, but I'm going to tell you, for all the money you got tied up in decoys, the days you take off to go hunting, when you have that no-win situation, they will make a difference.
They do. Well, Larry, tell us about the land down there. It's about a 1,500-acre ranch, but I know a lot about it because I've hunted there for years. But tell our listeners about it. You've got some awesome blinds built, and there's two big lakes that are, well, they're huge, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are, Luke. The one is, it's over 300 acres. at a lot of water, a lot of places for blinds. We've got, like you said, some really nice blinds built. In fact, last week just got done building another per se pond with a big cat. We have the ability to control the water in these places. We've got blinds set out that we're going to actually flood farm crops. And I mean, tell you, it's a mecca for duck hunters. Really nice. We've got a giant boat that we ferry everybody out to the islands, put them in blinds. You do not, right now at this time, do not need waders of any kind. I had folks out there this last weekend that were hunting in tennis shoes. So it's a real comfortable hunt.
It is. And Larry, what impressed me, we hunted the early morning flight on the big waters and did well. And then later, when they kind of the ducks kind of settled down, they were heading, a lot of them were heading back into some of these smaller ponds that are a lot of willows around them, a lot of cover, and they were, especially the mallards, dropping back in those. Then we moved and set up a few, I don't think, over 12 decoys, including those swimmer decoys, and continued to hammer ducks. So that's a good point of hunting down there, so much versatility, you know?
Yeah, everybody knows, you know, from watching the ducks on TV and everything else, that mallards especially like those nice little secluded pockets. Well, we've got, oh, I don't know, six or eight of them that we've currently got blinds set up on, and they're back in the timber, almost a Stuttgart-type atmosphere, and they're maybe 2 acres, an acre, one of them might be 3 acres, but you get back in there, you're well concealed, those ducks filter down through those trees, and man, it can really be a great hunt.
No doubt. Larry, I'm going to tell a humorous story here that I think all of our listeners that hunt can relate to. Folks, Larry is not only an expert duck guide, duck hunter, but he's quite a carpenter. Larry has built some blinds. He hunts hogs, and I've hunted with him a good bit down there too at night. He's built some stands, one of them that is we call the Hilton, that's carpeted. It's got a little cooking area in it, bunk in it. He actually, that's headquarters for Mr. Large when he's down there hunting. So he, Larry, you're right there on the scene. And you've got these things set up with night lights for hog hunting, which you also offer. If a person want to come down and hunt hogs with you, you're going to have to hunt them at night right now. They're not going to be moving during the day. But you had taken with you, Bo, a nice boar. And Larry knows me well enough, folks, to know that if there's a hog on the ground, he had this thing down and ready to butcher the next morning after our duck hunts. Well, Larry, you're going to be happy to know that those back straps, those loins, those hams, I boned all that out. I'm curing, put some sugar cure on those back straps, and then I boned that ham and the shoulders out and cooked it for 14 hours. In this smoking Texas electric smoker with a marinade I put on it, you're going to be in for some very, very tasty pork, buddy.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I've been around you, Luke, for 25, 30 years, and I've never eaten anything, excuse me, from breakfast tacos to, you know, pork that wasn't mighty tasty, so I can't hardly wait till I get that meat back.
Well, you're gonna like that, and that's something that a lot of most people. Now, this boar that you shot with your bow, he's going to weigh about 185 pounds. That's about what, if you put him on the scales, that would be within 15 pounds one way or another of what he weighed. So but you can tell on these older boars, he had absolutely no. He smelled like a hog in a hog pen. He did not have a wild, musky smell. I thought that meat was going to be really, really good. And I'm going to tell you, you can take even a boar. That boar was probably several years old. You can take them and slow cook them in moisture, barbecue sauce or a marinade, and put some bay leaves on them and make sure there's plenty of moisture there and cover them in foil. They make some really, really good eating. So you're also guiding for night hunts for hogs out there, Larry, right?
Yeah, right now I've got trail cameras set up on these two feeders. We call one the Motel 6 stand and one the Cedar Creek Hilton that you'd mentioned before that I actually stay in.
Yeah.
But right now, I shot this one at 7:45 in the evening. And, folks, if you want to have some fun archery hunting a hog, that's very simple to do. I've got about 25 or 30 coming to one feeder, and God only knows how many coming to the other. Those lights come on when it starts getting dark. They go off at daylight, and somewhere between 7 o'clock at night and daylight, I can all but guarantee you're going to get a hog. And these hunts are very reasonable. They're $150. You can start hunting at 7 o'clock, and unless I have a duck hunt the next morning, you can hunt till daylight. I don't care. I'll be sitting right there with you, and you will get you some pigs.
It's a lot of fun, Larry. Well, what's some advice for our late-season duck hunters now? We've got what I consider the best duck hunting ahead of us. This cold front we had over the weekend coming in. Do you call as much or more late in the season? Kind of some tips that'll help people put some ducks on the strap.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Luke, there's times, and you've seen it before, when if you start calling early in the morning and the ducks start flaring the minute you blow a duck call, that tells me those ducks have heard about all the duck calls they want. Sometimes just a little subtle hello and maybe a feed chuckle or a single quack works. There's going to be times when you get new ducks in that haven't been there yet this year that you can call all you want and bring them in. But I think one of the most critical things is decoy spreads. Let the ducks tell you how much you can call and how much you can't. But as the season progresses, especially once we get into January, these ducks are going to be all paired up. Make sure you have a drake and a hen together. Set them farther apart and decrease the size of your decoy spread. Everybody thinks, well, they've seen ducks, ducks, ducks. You know, you got to get bigger, bigger, bigger. I actually decrease the amount of decoys that I use in January versus what I'm using right now and make sure they are all paired up. You know, just put two here, two there, two over here. Instead of putting five or six dozen decoys out, I'll probably put a dozen to two dozen out and have a lot better luck.
Very, very good tip, Larry. Well, and then brushing in a blind, making sure that thing looks part of the surroundings, that's important whenever you do it, but especially late season, because from North Dakota to South Texas, you know, ducks have seen it all. So you have to hide and then covering your face with a face mask. It's things like that are pretty basic to you and I, but it'll very much increase the number of ducks you kill. You know what?
Oh, yeah. Anytime. Now, I do use the camouflage burlap for the basic structure of my blind. And basically, that is just to make sure that everything is totally hidden. But then I cover that with anything I can get, any natural surrounding brush. And one thing I did learn, and I made a mistake this year on opening weekend. I'm out there in the dark setting decoys and everything else, got the blind all set up. Everything's perfect. First ducks I called started to come in, and they flared. I couldn't figure out what was going on. My hunter told me, he says, maybe it's that headlamp you still got on your hat.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize. Now, it wasn't turned on,
yeah,
but the sun was reflecting off of that light, and
yeah,
every time I looked at the ducks, that's what they seen.
Well, Larry, you know what? They're telling me we have already made our show. We're through for this week. Would you leave a phone number for people that want to learn more about bass fishing at Fork or shooting ducks or hogs?
I sure will, Luke. It's 903-765-3176.
Well, Larry, we're going to get you back again soon. And, folks, we are wrapped up for today's show. Our show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, biggame.org. This year's convention is called Journeys, and it's in Dallas, of course. And the dates are January the 3rd through the 6th. Remember, you can listen to the archive of this show all this week right here at KETR.org, and join me again next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.